All right, varieties of research. Hey, varieties of research designs. We're going to look at a 3x3 structure, a 9-item taxonomy of different kinds of single IV or single factor designs. We're going to look at design differences that have an impact on causal interpretability. And we're going to look at design differences that have an impact on the statistical model that we use. We got to separate those. Okay? Part of what we're looking at is what kind of design was run in terms of the procedure and how that impacts causal interpretability. The second is the procedure and how that impacts the statistical analysis we do. What ANOVA will we do? Right now we know 2 ANOVAs, between groups and within groups ANOVAs, and something interesting is going to happen because we got 3 kinds of design and 2 kinds of ANOVA. And that is one of the most commonly made mistakes, and we're going to sort that out. So here is our structure. In terms of causal interpretation, we have our friend, the true experiment. Nothing's changed. Random assignment of individuals controlled by the researcher before manipulation of the independent variable controlled by the researcher. That's it. It's a true experiment because of assignment and manipulation. You want causal interpretability, you have to add to that no confounds. The initial equivalence has to stay in place, and the ongoing equivalence has to be created and maintained. Nothing's changed. A quasi-experiment is pretty much what you would expect. It's sort of an experiment. The quasi-experiment usually has the manipulation part, but without the proper random assignment of individuals part. You're going to see why we had some of our assignment categories before, because we're going to use them more now. And then there's the natural groups design. This has more frickin' names than you can imagine. Natural groups design, non-experimental design. My favorite is concomitant measurement design, which means I measured both of the variables. Big question is going to be, when are the results from which of these causally interpretable? The second, this is just the warm-up, we're going to do all of this more. The second is whether we have a between groups design, different people in different conditions, a within groups design, the same people in all conditions, or our new friend, the matched group design. A lot of you have heard about matched groups design, especially if you're in education or developmental psychology, they use them the most. Matching is going to be what we do if we've decided not to trust random assignment, or if we can't have random assignment and we're going to target specific variables to control procedurally. So random assignment is a probabilistic process. Matching is a procedural process. All right, so let's wander through this stuff. Yes? Sure. I grab a whole bunch of people, and I am really worried that age is going to be an issue because I've got a mixed group. Maybe I'm working with a social club, Boy Scouts, something like that, and I've got a bunch of different ages. And I really think that age matters. So instead of randomly assigning, hoping that I'll get an age balance between the groups, I go grab me 2 12-year-olds. I call them a matched pair. One goes in one group, one goes in the other. I go grab a couple of 14-year-olds, and on and on. That would be matching on age. And listen, as we get into labeling these designs and stuff, this is where we are most likely to run into words that weren't the words you were taught the first time. Get that hand in the air and let's get the taxonomy set. Yes? No, sorry.
Do we not have a random assignment to call it as a true experiment?
Hold on.
The matching, is it?
You'll see. The problem with matching is that matching gets used to try and fix things whenever it can be used, for whatever it can be used, and we have to stop and think about what the result of that attempt is. Okay? So you're asking a great question. Wait. I'll get there. So we have true experiments, quasi-experiment, natural groups designs. This is a whole bunch of things. Notice the yellow. The choice of ANOVA is not influenced by which of these types of design is used. We have between, within, and mixed of all 3. This is not ANOVA. This is causal interpretation. True experiment, nothing's changed. Individual participants are randomly assigned to conditions of the IV by the researcher before manipulation of the IV. The IV is manipulated by the researcher. The DV is measured by the experimenter. I'm swapping words around because I want you to remember there's a lot of different language out there. By extension, it's whoever is under the reasonable control of the researcher or the experimenter. I don't mean that the experimenter has to flip the coin for everybody who walks through the lab door. I mean that there has to be a system in place that produces the proper random assignment and the proper manipulation. IV manipulated by the researcher is probably the most harrowing of these, because once you leave the laboratory, you typically have to train somebody up to deliver the independent variable rather than doing it yourself under the kind of control you would like. That doesn't mean you automatically forgive it. That means you automatically pay a whole bunch of attention to whether you think you had procedural standardization. Did you have manipulation fidelity? All those different sorts of words that you'll run into in your own research communities that mean, did they do it right? Did they all do it the same? Did they do all of the parts? You try to maintain procedural control to minimize confounds of ongoing equivalence, and as we know, field studies and longer-term studies make this more difficult. The most common mistake on quiz 2 and quiz 3 will be ignoring ongoing equivalence. You get all tied up in the random assignment or the not random assignment. You think really carefully about initial equivalence. And we're going to do that more because now we've got matching, which is another whole kind of initial equivalence control. You get all caught up in that and you forget that we treated them and sent them home for 18 months before we collected the DV. Hang on to a deep and abiding interest in evaluating ongoing equivalence. You gotta. It's the most common mistake. I was at a thing yesterday where I was invited to come in and help this group review 18 research projects. 13 of the 18 research projects, they had not thought about ongoing equivalence at all. They were delighted that they had wrested random assignment and some anti-attrition things out of the field research that they were doing. They had talked people into, they had contracts. It was sweet. But it's a 6-week treatment procedure. And we're not locking those people down for 6 weeks. So we have to worry about ongoing equivalence. One of the tricks we'll learn in the spring is, if you can't control it, measure it. Make it part of your statistical analysis. Because statistical control is not as sweet as a confound. It's not as sweet as random assignment. But it beats the snot out of nothing. So just, it's fresh in my mind after yesterday. Always worry about ongoing equivalence, whether it's an experimental design or not. Quasi-experiment. The most common version of a quasi-experiment is intact groups are assigned to IV conditions, typically randomly, but with some variability, before manipulation of the IV. The IV is manipulated by the researcher with a little more fluff. Here's one of the rules. If you can't wrest random assignment out of the situation, you're probably going to run into other control issues as you go along. Does that make sense? They're not really turning stuff over to you. When you walk into somebody else's world and say, I want to run a study, they go, yeah! I need to do these things. Ooh. Random assignment typically requires that people who are sitting next to each other or working next to each other in their normal environment are now going to be treated differently based on random assignment. Probably won't work. The thing you have to worry about there is contamination. These two are working on punch presses next to each other. I've told one to use one process, the other to use the other. They eat lunch together. How long do you think that isolation is going to last? Lunch. You with me? And so random assignment of intact groups is not somebody being stupid. It's somebody recognizing a trade-off. Remember trade-offs? Recognizing a trade-off. I can have procedural fidelity, but at the cost of assigning individuals. I can't assign individuals, but I can assign a whole group. You have one wing or one shift do one thing, and then you monitor the hell out of your look at contamination. You do something like at the end of every shift, you say, all right, explain to me what you were doing. And if that starts to shift and they start to explain the other condition, you're done getting data from that person. How are we doing? So you don't treat this as who's the idiot. Who's the idiot that randomly assigned intact groups? That's not true random assignment. What did you get out of it? You got a little bit more than you would have just letting things go. Now, there is a way around random assignment of intact groups and still having a true experiment. See, it's not a true experiment because of the unit of assignment, which is a group, doesn't match the unit of analysis, which is an individual. So if you have, say, 50 classrooms that you're working with, you randomly assign which classroom gets which procedure, and then your dependent variable is the performance of the class. Now your unit of assignment matches your unit of analysis, and you effectively have a true experiment at the class level. And when you go on to take Big Bear statistics from other people who will love you in your future, you will learn about hierarchical modeling, where we can take a look at what's going on by predicting things from the individuals and from the class and maybe from the school and the region. And so you take what you can get in terms of control, but you got to pay careful attention to what trade-offs somebody else made. Same sort of problem when we give up random assignment is probably because we didn't have the juice to talk somebody into it, which means we really have to pay attention to how well the IV was manipulated, how much fidelity is there, how well the dependent variable is measured, and try and figure out what else is going on. A quasi-experiment is better than a non-experiment for causal interpretability. In the real world, we know that something's either causally interpretable or it's not. But there are gradations of how many confounds there are to worry about and what kinds of confounds. That's why we sort of change the meaning of internal validity away from only being for causal interpretability to the basic idea that internal validity is about confound control. And the more confounds you control, the cleaner your result, whether it's an associative or a causal result. Intact groups. An intact group is assembled by any process other than random assignment by the researcher. State, county, town, block, hospital, clinic, center, school, class, section. Any assembly that's not under the control of the researcher. Why randomizing intact groups doesn't produce initial equivalence? There is some reason that the folks are in the groups they're in. Remember what an independent variable is supposed to be. It is supposed to be damn independent. That the reason you have the independent variable you have is no reason at all. Random assignment and poofing by the researcher. But if you're in a group, the reason you have your value is because that's the value they're getting too. You're sitting side by side. You're in the same intact group. I don't know why you're in that intact group, but it's having an impact on the independent variable score you have. There is no reason to believe that different groups have initial equivalence relative to each other. So at this point, groups take on the role that people normally have. They're a source of variability that can be a confound. So randomly assigning groups doesn't ensure initial equivalence of individuals. Often referred to unit of assignment not matching the unit of analysis. Natural groups design. Natural groups design is when, for the purposes of your study, whether it's primary or secondary data, you are measuring the independent variable value. It's already happened. Somebody else did it. You're just showing up and analyzing data. All right, so that is this axis right here. True experiment, you know what it is. Non-experiment, and now we got this thing in the middle of quasi-experiment, which has some controls, but not complete controls for causal interpretability. And remember that which of these you run does not influence the ANOVA that you pick.